I'll ask you to turn with me, please, to Isaiah and chapter 6. Appreciate the ministry of the Word of God for the people of God. That's our life. That's our daily food. Now, a little word in the gospel at the close, Isaiah and chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Verse 11, Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now over to the New Testament, the Revelation, and chapter 20. The last book in your Bible, chapter 20, and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades, death and hell, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now a final brief reading from Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And I'm reading for this expression, Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And God, we know, will bless his word. The world in which we live, people are always looking for something different, something they've never seen before. We have read of three sights in the Word of God. Actually, the unknown, the unseen is what keeps our travel agents in business. They're always delighted to sell you a package deal to something new, something you've never seen. I remember the first time I went to the West Coast, the city of Vancouver, for gospel meetings way back in 1974. It was a 2.5-day trip by train from Dubuque, Iowa to Seattle and then up to Vancouver. And for the first time, I saw the majestic Canadian Rocky Mountains. In all of their pristine glory, those purple-capped peaks of those mountains, and some of them covered with snow. And I thought of that hymn, How Great Thou Art. When I consider all the world thy hands had made, and from that train window I was made to bow and say, How great thou art. Something wrong if we can't appreciate the majesty of our Creator. The Word, the God that brought this world into existence. No Big Bang Theory, as you young people hear in school these days. He spake, and it was so. He commanded, and it stood fast. Think of the starry heavens, millions of stars. The Lord takes five words in the book of Genesis to tell us about them. He made the stars also. Those galaxies, millions of them that have never yet been discovered. I understand our sun can contain over 100, our world can be contained in that sun over 100 million times. Our mind is baffled at the work of our Creator. But I want to tell you, there are sights in this book that are more glorious than all of that. In Isaiah chapter 6, where we read, I wanted to think about a sight of his glory. Then I want to think about a sight of his greatness. And then finally in Luke 23, a sight of his grief. All the people that came together to that sight. My dear brother Murray was telling us about it yesterday afternoon. The place called Calvary. where the blessed Savior suffered, bled, and died to put away sin. What a sight. Chapter 6 of Isaiah is not the conversion of the prophet. The New Testament tells us these things spake Isaiah when he saw his glory. But I want to apply it as the dealings of God with a sinner until that moment when he makes vital contact with Christ. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, he says. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. I could take you back to the book of Chronicles and read to you about this man, Isaiah, that was smitten with that leprosy, and he died. And he never forgot that occasion. And if you're saved here today, you will never forget that moment. How can you forget it? One moment in darkness, groping, trying to get release from the bondage of sin. I was a boy of 12 and a half, listening to a little Scotchman named David Craig in Ireland. He preached for six weeks from Isaiah's prophecy every night. He gave out the same hymn, out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. I can almost hear him yet with his beautiful baritone voice above all the others in that crowded building. He preached about a Savior for 6 weeks to this sinner. That's 77 years ago. I was 12 and a half. Now you know how old I am. But I'll never forget that Monday morning, reading from chapter 53 of this same book. I read, but he was wounded for my transgressions, I read. He was bruised for my iniquities. I was a sinner. The chastisement of my peace was on him. And I knew that meant the punishment that he endured. And I didn't finish reading the verse. It just dawned on me. If I'd been looking at my watch, I could have told you right to the second, about 5 minutes after 9 on a Monday morning, the 14th of March, 1938, a burdened sinner, realizing if I die as I am, I'll be in hell fire forever. But I understood that he was wounded and bruised for me. Never forget it. How could you forget that moment? He said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He never forgot. Another thing the sinner realizes is that God is holy. Here are these angelic beings, seraphim, guardians of the throne, with six wings, with twain they cover their face, with twain they cover their feet, with twain they did fly, and they're proclaiming the holiness of God at the throne. A little later we'll notice they're dispensing mercy at the altar. Those holy beings, God is holy. And you and I have to do with a God who hates sin. He loves a sinner, but he hates our sin. He's holy. Heaven is a holy place. His only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Has there been that moment in your life when you understood why the Savior died? That's all that matters. I've been trying to preach this message for nearly 60 years now. If I had my life to live over again, I would do the same thing, maybe more than I have tried to do. Now, I've preached in many parts of this world, the West Indies and the UK and Australia and New Zealand and Malaysia and on, but it's the same message. There's a Savior for a sinner that will trust Him. Be a wonderful end.